The Public News Service Daily Newscast, April the 12th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. The recent mass shootings in Louisville and Nashville add to the list of tragedies gun safety advocates say should compel preventative action. Our Mike Mullen reports in Minnesota, pediatricians hope state lawmakers respond to what they're calling a public health emergency.
While longstanding advocacy groups push for gun control legislation at the state and federal levels, more than 160 pediatric providers around Minnesota have sent a letter to the legislature in hopes of seeing action this session. Dr. Andrew Kirigu, a critical care pediatrician at Children's Minnesota, is among those who signed it.
It is heartbreaking when I see children admitted with injuries caused by something that is preventable.
Federal data show guns are now the leading cause of death for U.S. children, and Kirigu says it's not just mass shootings. For example, he says kids face danger when finding an unsecured firearm in the house. Current legislative proposals would expand background checks and adopt a red flag type law. Democratic majorities in Minnesota give advocacy groups hope, but they say the legislature still needs to act with urgency. I'm Mike Mullen.
As Fair Housing Month gets underway, a Virginia group feels more can be done to enforce fair housing laws.
Along with the Federal Fair Housing Act, most states have their own fair housing laws preventing housing discrimination. Virginia updated their fair housing law in 2020 to ensure that if a person uses money from a rental assistance program or subsidy, they can't be discriminated against. But despite these protections, Laura Dobbs with the Virginia Poverty Law Center says discrimination still occurs.
I think a common one that we still see despite these protections is a landlord who might post something on advertising for housing that says no voucher holders. Like does not take vouchers because that is illegal, or otherwise representing that there's housing that's unavailable because someone says they have a voucher.
Dobbs adds there was a rise in this kind of discrimination throughout the pandemic, and it is happening across the U.S. Fair housing complaints are on the rise. According to the National Fair Housing Alliance, 2021 saw more than 31,000 housing complaints, an almost 9% increase from 2020. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
Now from the New York Times, the Manhattan DA Tuesday sued Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio in an extraordinary step intended to keep congressional Republicans from interfering in the office's criminal case against former President Donald Trump. The Times reports the 50-page suit filed in federal court in the Southern District of New York accuses Jordan of a brazen and unconstitutional attack on the prosecution of Trump and a transparent campaign to intimidate and attack the DA, Alvin Bragg. This is Public News Service. After Congress rolled back a pandemic-era policy that prohibited states from dropping Medicaid recipients from their rolls, 15 million people in Colorado and across the U.S. are expected to lose their health insurance, even if they remain eligible.
Mark Williams with the Colorado Department of Health Care Policy and Financing, which oversees Medicaid in the state, says people may no longer be eligible for a number of reasons. They may now have a job that pays too much to qualify.
Or they may have access to employer-sponsored coverage that they didn't have previously. So we anticipate that there will be approximately 325,000 people who will need to find other coverage options when their renewal comes along.
Nearly half of those expected to be dropped from Medicaid rolls are people of color. About 80% of those currently enrolled are expected to still be eligible for coverage, but Williams says most will need to go through the eligibility process to keep their insurance. The most important thing people should do now is update their mailing address, email, and phone number so they can receive necessary paperwork. I'm Eric Galatas.
And new research by an Indiana nonprofit coalition reveals areas for innovation that could help minimize food insecurity.
The report says technology could be developed to educate more people about healthy food choices or create food products that are more nutritious and affordable. It says the private sector can play a bigger role in these innovations. Mitch Frazier, president and CEO of Agrinovis Indiana, says combating food insecurity will take an all-hands-on-deck approach.
It's a portfolio of solutions that will best connect food supply and food demand. Food pantries will be a piece of it. retail grocery will be a piece of it. Technology will be a piece of it. But ultimately, this can't be on any one of those individual points alone. This has to be a portfolio solution.
AgriNovus Indiana partnered with Purdue Ag to identify these opportunities for innovation, and they can't come soon enough. I'm Joey Graham reporting.
And finally, our Daniel Smith reminds us that April is National Volunteer Month.
Research shows volunteering can help increase a person's quality of life and improve both physical and mental health by keeping their brain engaged and active. And volunteer Joan Deal with AARP Arkansas says helping hands are needed just about everywhere, from food banks to nursing homes to schools and veteran centers. Deal adds many charitable organizations could not do their work without volunteers.
We have a lot of people who have food insecurity, and so volunteering at a food bank is very much needed. It takes a lot of work.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Here are some radio stations, big and small, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.